Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. In a historic move, the Reserve Bank of India, that is the RBI, has approved a massive foreign direct investment deal, marking the largest such investment in India's banking sector to date. The deal involves Emirates NBD, the largest banking group in the United Arab Emirates, acquiring up to 74% stake in RBL Bank for approximately $3 billion. This is a significant development, as RBL Bank will be treated as a foreign bank subsidiary post-acquisition. But why does this matter? The answer lies in the regulatory framework governing foreign direct investment in Indian banking. The key regulatory provisions include the Banking Regulation Act of 1949, which governs all banks and gives the RBI ultimate supervisory authority. Then there's the FDI policy circular, which sets a 74% limit for private banks, a limit that was raised from 49% in 2021. Crucially, there's also a voting rights cap at 26%, meaning that even if a foreign entity holds 74% of the stake, its voting rights are capped at 26% to prevent excessive foreign control. And here is something that surprises many students: the fit and proper criteria, which require the RBI to assess the acquirer's financial soundness, track record, and governance standards. Now, let us look at why this deal matters. First, it is the largest banking FDI, with $3 billion being the single largest foreign investment in an Indian bank. What makes this significant is that it signals a deepening of UAE-India economic ties beyond oil, now extending to financial services. Building on this, the deal is also connected to the India-UAE Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or CEPA, signed in 2022, which opened up services sectors, including banking. It is worth pausing here to note that RBL Bank, formerly Ratnakar Bank, established in 1943, has around 500 branches and has been expanding in microfinance and credit cards, but has faced asset quality concerns. Emirates NBD brings capital and management expertise to the table. Now, let us turn to the context of this deal. The acquisition is a strategic signal of the growing economic ties between the UAE and India. But why does this matter for India's strategic position? The answer lies in the fact that this deal is part of a larger trend of increasing foreign investment in India's banking sector. Remember this number, $3 billion, the largest foreign direct investment in an Indian bank. Note this carefully. The FDI limit in private banks is 74%, raised from 49% in 2021. This is a favorite prelims fact. The voting rights cap for foreign bank investors is 26%. Moving on to what this means for your preparation, it is essential to understand the regulatory framework governing FDI in banking, including the Banking Regulation Act and the FDI Policy Circular. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? This deal is relevant to GS Paper 3, Economy, which covers FDI in banking, limits, regulatory framework, and the Banking Regulation Act. It is also relevant to GS Paper 2, International Relations, which covers India-UAE bilateral relations, including CEPA and ITU2, that is, the India-Israel-UAE's partnership. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Emirates NBD is the largest banking group in the Middle East by assets, with approximately $250 billion in assets. The government of Dubai holds 55.8% of Emirates NBD, making this effectively a sovereign-backed acquisition. The voting rights cap at 26% is India's mechanism to allow capital inflow, 74%, while preventing governance control, a unique regulatory design that balances FDI openness with sovereignty concerns. Now, let us turn to another significant development. Japan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, that is MOFA, has established the Japan-India Economic Affairs Division, a dedicated unit to support Japanese companies expanding into India. But why does Japan need a dedicated division for India? The answer lies in the fact that India is Japan's fastest-growing major investment destination. What makes this significant is that Japan is looking to diversify its supply chains away from China, and India is the primary alternative. Crucially, Japan needs India's critical minerals, such as rare earths, for its electric vehicle batteries and semiconductors. And here is something that surprises many students. Japan has set a bilateral target of 10 trillion yen, that is $62.6 billion, in private sector investment by 2035. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? This development is relevant to GS Paper 3, Economy, which covers Japan-India Economic Partnership, including the Delhi-Mumbai Industrial Corridor, or DMIC, and Critical Minerals Cooperation. It is also relevant to GS Paper 2, International Relations, which covers the India-Japan Special Strategic and Global Partnership, the Quad Economic Security Dimension, and Critical Minerals Diplomacy. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. Japan is the only country in the world to have established a dedicated India Economic Affairs Division within its foreign ministry, signaling India's importance has moved beyond a regional desk to a standalone policy unit. The India-Japan Act East Forum, established in 2017, focuses specifically on developing India's Northeast, with Japan funding projects in Meghalaya, Mizoram, and Nagaland through the Japan International Cooperation Agency, that is JICA. In conclusion, these developments highlight the growing economic ties between India and other countries, including the UAE and Japan. Remember this number, 10 trillion yen, Japan's target for private sector investment in India by 2035. Note this carefully, the FDI limit in private banks is 74% and the voting rights cap for foreign bank investors is 26%. These are significant developments that will have far-reaching implications for India's economic growth and strategic position.